Good evening and welcome to Cabinet this evening on the 5th of July. If I can start off by saying that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So, thank you for coming, as I said before. Yeah, I appreciate it's a very warm evening, so we're probably going to leave the door open and maybe keep the fans going. And we'll start with item one, which is apologies. I believe we have an apology from Councillor Rawlings.
Yes,
I'll press it again. Apologies. Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Are there any disclosures that anyone wishes to make? No, that's no disclosures. Item three, leaders' announcements. I have no announcements for this evening. Item four, minutes of the previous meeting. That's dated 14th of June 2018. Has anyone any comments about the content of those minutes?
Was there any response to the question I raised about the minutes of the previous meeting to these previous meeting minutes on item three?
Councillor Mercer, that response was emailed out to all members of the Cabinet. That document that you asked for is available on the Council's website. Were you asking in relation to the Carbon Management Plan Monitoring Report?
Yes, except it said it made available to councillors, not members of the Cabinet.
I can email all councillors to let them know it's there, but it is available to everybody and the public.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments that anyone wishes to make? Otherwise, are we happy to accept those minutes? All of those?
Yep.
Thank you very much. That's everyone. Thank you. Okay, item five, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. There are no questions submitted. So now we're on to item six, which is the amendments to annual procurement plan. We have an OSG report for this. So for the first time, if I can invite Councillor Capleton to the table. And welcome, Councillor, for your first OSG report. So I'm also going to ask Councillor Barclay to introduce the item and then invite Councillor Capleton to present the OSG report.
Okay, so this is an update to our annual procurement plan. The way we do procurement in Charnwood is clearly outlined in the paper. There's contracts up to 75,000 where we go include quotes, and anything over 75,000 up to $500,000 we do a full tendering in line with our rules. The new contracts that are being considered and added to the plan are outlined on pages 5, 6 and 7 and are broken down into the various levels of the contract procedures. And as the leader said, this was subject to an overview and scrutiny report, and I will now hand over to Councillor Capleton.
Thank you, leader. Yes, the OSG considered this report on the annual procurement plan. Because there's a report from the Head of Finance Property Services, and the purpose was to approve the additional 12 items to the annual procurement plan. Two of the items were in the lower range, 25,000 to 75,000, and 10 of them were in the upper range, 75,000 to 500,000. The main item that people queried was item 7, which is tenants' home insurance. It was explained that this is only used in circumstances where tenants are unable to cope themselves, and it is recovered with rent payments. It's not a cost to the council. Also, whatever sum it was, and it's not mentioned, the contract had a lifespan of 4 years. The group also questioned the limits, $25,000 to $75,000, $75,000 to $500,000, as the two bands that would go through without cabinet approval. The lead member explained that limits were kept under review and probably reached that the current levels through constant reviews in line with inflation. Also, the purchasing officer were trained professionals and subject to spending checks. I just thought the Cabinet might like to be made aware of this discussion, have a look at the bans, and if you decide that they're reasonable, leave them in place. Otherwise, you might consider a review is necessary. So in view of that, we would recommend the Cabinet accept that report.
The button's defeat is all, Councillor, so yes. Thank you very much for that, John. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Copeland for accuracy or information about the OSG's meeting? No, absolutely no questions at the moment. Thank you very much, Councillor. If you'd like to leave the table for the time being, and then what we're going to do is ask David Hawkins to come to the table. David is the procurement manager, and if you would like to then present the remainder of the report, and then we can discuss it at that point.
So the purpose of the report is to approve additions to the annual procurement plan to enable officers to engage in the procurement process for the items listed in Appendix A and Appendix B.
Very succinct. Thank you very much. Do I have any questions? Councillor Smidovich.
Yes, Councillor Smidovich. It's a question on Appendix A, page 5. More curiosity, I'm afraid. But under a strategic support where you've got apprenticeship degree and master's courses, are the master's courses confined to research degrees or appropriate sort of research dealing with items to do with the council, or can it be a master's on just an area of interest to the individual?
So that item is in regard to 3 master level and 1 degree level places, and they're being procured as part of the Charnwood Borough Council's succession planning initiative outlined in the People's Strategy 2017-20. These development programmes are part of the new government-led higher apprenticeship programmes and will be funded entirely through new apprenticeship digital levy, as these are new programmes that have only just been approved for funding by the government. There are currently limited options for delivery. De Montfort University have offered a unique experienced delivery team offering a business-focused approach and a slightly reduced cost compared to other possible suppliers coming into the market.
So if I could just add a little bit to that. Obviously, we're looking to increase apprenticeships within the council and looking for avenues by which we can do that. And these kinds of opportunities are really for us to develop our own workforce. So it wouldn't be likely that we'd be offering an opportunity for something that was not relevant to work in Charnwood. They are actually to bring through our own new blood, basically. And as you all probably realise, there are some parts of the council where recruitment and retention is getting a bit difficult, so where we can use the apprenticeship route to strengthen the workforce and the team, then that's something that we would like to do.
Thank you very much. Any further questions anyone wishes to ask? Okay, thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Barclay to summarise and move the recommendations on the paper.
So we're all happy to accept the additional contract. So I propose recommendations 1 and 2 on page 1 for the reasons 1 to allow the contracts of the council to be let in accordance with our contract procedure rules.
I would like to second that, leader, please.
Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David, as well. Item 7 in that case, Capital Plan Amendment Report, and likewise we have an OSG report for this item as well. So if I can invite Councillor Capleton to the table. And Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to introduce the item and then pass over to Councillor Capleton to present the OSG report.
So this is the amendments to the capital plan since it was approved. You've seen the majority of the schemes are outlined on pages 4 and 5. There's a tremendous amount of work being done all around the borough. The major item is the Beehive Lane car park, where we're upgrading it and spending £125,000 on it. So there are no real surprises here. It's fully funded, and as the leader said, it was subject to scrutiny by the overview and scrutiny group on Monday night. And I'll pass over to Councillor Capleton now.
Thank you very much. The OSG discussed this one, and the first six items glossed over because those have previously been agreed or else agreed by a delegated decision. We concentrated on item 7, which is the Beehive car park fire and evacuation safety. The focus of the facility has come about because of the Grenfell Tower disaster and more recently because of the fire in the car park in Liverpool, and cars to the value of £4 million were destroyed. The council want to ensure that the Beehive car park safety measures were of the highest standard. The car park has a fire risk assessment in place, and it was considered a very low risk due to the open construction of the building. However, latest industry guidelines now state that the risk of fire in a multi-storey car park has been underestimated nationally. The council therefore sought to advise the Leicestershire County Council Health and Services, sought the advice of Leicestershire County Council Health and Safety Service. The recommendation was that we should install a new alarm system and a dry riser, riser for use by the fire service. Our equipment, our dry riser equipment, only operates on the first two floors, so there's a risk of a total loss of the building. Currently, we have a small number of fire extinguishers, but these are not available to the public, as it is not considered safe to encourage people to attempt to extinguish vehicle fires. The only option would be the full evacuation of the building. A new alarm system would facilitate this. Specifications and quotations are currently being sought. The estimated cost of upgrading the fire equipment is around £125,000. The OSG considered the report to be completely reasonable and recommended to Cabinet. Thank you.
Button pushing is essential in this meeting. It's good exercise for those fingers. Are there any questions of clarity or further information that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Capleton? Absolutely none. It's obviously very, very thorough. Thank you. Thank you very much, John. If you'd like to leave the table until next time, and what I'm going to do now is invite Claire. Oh, she is there. Okay, good. Claire Hodgson, who's our Head of Finance and Property Services, to the table to add any further comments to what's been said so far.
Thank you, Leader. There's not really an awful lot more to add, just to say that obviously the report details amendments and additions to June 2018. The main one that's on there for approval has already been discussed. It's the Beehive car park. The other one that an addition which isn't requiring approval is the £20,000 additional budget for the town hall seating, which is actually being found from revenue budget, so we're not asking Cabinet for any more money for that. Just to reassure Cabinet, schemes will be monitored on an ongoing basis and any issues will be brought back to Cabinet in a future capital plan amendment report.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Mercer.
Can I ask, is there... trying to avoid the use of the word ongoing, a continuing cost
of having the extra fence around the top, given that I suspect we are hiring that?
Any additional costs that are ongoing would have been picked up in the capital appraisal form, and we would have also found budget for those as part of the capital programme team meeting. So,
does that continue forever?
If there were any additional costs, they would be covered by revenue budgets, yes.
Any further questions that anyone has? Okay, in that case, I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to present the recommendation and seek a seconder.
So, I make the recommendations outlined on page one of the report, recommendations one and two, for the reasons outlined on page one.
Sorry, Councillor Smidowitz, I'll certainly second that.
We need to invest in automatic buttons, I'm afraid. Okay, thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Claire, as well. Claire, actually, if you can stay in place for item eight, which is our reinvestment reserve funding for investment in property fund item. Councillor Barclay, if I can ask you to introduce the item and then pass over to Claire, who will present the report.
So, early in the year, we had fund managers come in to present to us, and we decided to invest in property funds. We've already invested $2.5 million in the Lothbury fund. We are now looking to invest another $2.5 million in the Hermes Property Trust, making a total investment that we will have to date of $5 million. It's working well. We're getting better rates than we anticipated in the long we would on bank deposits and the benchmark of our investments. To date, we're getting 3.2% on the first one. We anticipate over the long term that will move up to in the region of 4-5%. To enable us to invest, we need $160,000 to pay the upfront fees, and this report asks us to take that from the reinvestment reserve. The one that we have managed to get into on the secondary market is performing well. Unfortunately, we were unable to get into the Hermes Property Trust at the time, and now we are looking to enter it through the secondary market or actually purchase new units if they issue them. So it's part of our investment strategy. It falls within the investment strategy, and that's the reasoning behind it. So I'll ask Claire to clarify anything else.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I think you've covered most of the important points on the report for me. Just to reassure members, there is sufficient budget available in the reinvestment reserve to cover this, and it fits with the criteria for the use of the fund because it's a one-off cost which will provide a payback to the council. As you'll see in the report, this investment was originally agreed in 2017-18, and the plan was to fund it from additional interest receipts that we were receiving in that financial year over and above the original budget. The budget for 2018-19 had already been adjusted to take into account of the higher interest, so that's no longer available, which is why we're asking for reinvestment reserve funding. The funding that we had requested last year, which we didn't use, has already gone back into reserves as part of the year-end process, so that's available. And for anybody who's interested, the reason that we're asking for £160,000 is the purchase cost is generally around 6% of net asset value. Hermes is a high-performing fund, so it can be at the more expensive end of that, so we're asking for 6.4%. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Taylor.
I remember this coming to OSG when I was chair of that. When it was originally allocated, it was for second-hand shares that would be put on the open market. This report is mentioning buying new shares. Is that more expensive than buying the second-hand shares?
It's actually generally around the 6% of net asset value. The reason we purchased on the secondary market is that they're sometimes easier to get hold of than new issue shares, but they're around about the same cost, because obviously the 6% net asset value is fairly standard.
Any other questions? Councillor Smith-Rich.
Claire, just curiosity in a way, it's property funds. Is that commercial property or just a spread of different types of property?
It's a spread of different types of property. So these are professionals who have a portfolio. Some of them will be private sector. So, for example, one of the units that presented to us own a large portion of Covent Garden. Some of them will be things like university buildings or university housing, things like that. So it's a very good way to invest because it spreads the risk across various different sectors and also various geographical areas.
Am I right in thinking it's pretty well non-housing, though? It's industrial, commercial, yeah. Research, but not housing.
Generally not housing. I think the university buildings are potentially separate to that, but it's not generally not housing. No, it's things like warehouses or retail premises as a general rule.
Okay. Does that help? Okay, good. Any other questions that anyone wishes to ask? No. So, in which case, Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to make a proposal or a recommendation with the reasons why and then invite a seconder?
I recommend that an amount of up to £160,000 is made available from the reinvestment reserve to fund investment in a further property fund during the year 2018-19, that's the financial year, and the reason to enable the Council to undertake investment in a further property fund in a timely and cost-effective manner.
And Councillor Harper-Davis.
Yes, thank you, Leader. I'd like to second this item too. Okay.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Claire, thank you very much. Now on to item 9, which is the Annual Health and Safety Performance Report for 2017-18. We also have an OSG report, so if we can invite Councillor Capleton down to the table. Councillor Poland, if I can ask you to introduce this item and then invite Councillor Capleton to present the OSG report.
Thank you, Leader. Cabinet is asked to note the Council's health and safety performance over the last civic year, 2017-18. In December, Charnwood's corporate health and safety officer left the organisation, since when our health and safety service has been provided by Leicestershire County Council. This has given us extra resilience in that when one officer is away, there are others that can pick up the work. The agreement was for this service to initially run to the end of July this year, and we are actively looking at what can be done beyond that period. We have, however, been very happy with the service we've received. Within the Council in 2017-18, there were 54 accidents or incidents. Slips, trips or falls were the biggest causes of these, with 15 cases. In terms of the types of accident injuries, personal injury made up the largest percentage at 58%. In terms of accidents and injuries by department, it will probably come as no surprise whatsoever that Landlord Services had the most accidents given the nature of what they do with 21, followed by Leisure and Culture with 13. Approximately 12% of Charnwood's full-time equivalent staff have been involved in an accident or incident over the last 12 months, which is just over 1 in 9 of our people.
Thank you, thank you, Leader. This is an annual report to note the Council's health and safety performance. The report showed an encouraging downward trend in the number of accidents over the past 3 years. The total of our accidents or incidents has declined by some 28%. From 76 in 2015 to 54 in 2018. The figures for landlord services were particularly impressive, having declined by some 50% from 40 in 2015 to 21 in 2017-18. This was taken to show that the Council was taking steps to monitor and control the number of accidents. It's still worth noting, however, that the total of 54 still represents one incident per week over the year. Now, it's extremely difficult to provide benchmarking comparisons with other authorities, as no two are exactly alike. They offer different services and have different ratios of manual workers to office staff. It is possible to say the Council deals with a very large number of interactions each year, of which the accident level is really extremely low. The group commented on the sort of generality of it and requested that the consideration be given to giving a higher level of detail of the accidents. It was noted by the head of strategic support. As part of the 6 months contract with Leicestershire County Council, a review of all documentation has taken place. A large number of documents had not been reviewed for the past 3 years and therefore require a full review with amendments. It was noticed that there is no policy or guidance documents in key areas such as fire safety, working at height, manual handling, work equipment, electrical safety, etc. An action plan has now been implemented to meet this requirement. The OSG resolved to recommend to Cabinet that, subject to these reservations, the report be accepted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John. I know your report generated a fair amount of discussion, I suspect probably from Cabinet, so unless there are any points of clarification or further information that you wish to ask Councillor Caperton, no, in which case I'm going to ask you to leave the table, but I know your points have been noted and will be subject of discussion. So thank you very much, Councillor Caperton. Can I ask now and invite Colin Jones and Kayleigh Brown to the table? Colin is the Health and Safety and Wellbeing Manager at Leicestershire County Council, and Kayleigh, Health and Safety Officer. And if I can ask you to add any further comments to the report, and also if you wish to pick up any of the points that you've just heard from Councillor Caperton that were raised through OSG, that would probably help us as Cabinet to actually start our discussions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the report is a positive report, and it's to be noted that, and it describes how seriously Charnwood Borough Council takes health and safety. It's engaged within Leicestershire County Council to provide a service and for us to continue to improve and develop that further. The report highlights the Cabinet of the work that's been undertaken within health and safety during the last financial year. It looks at the risks, hazards areas that impact upon the authority and where improvements need to be made to ensure improved compliance to health and safety. And I think it's important that we engage in a continuous improvement route rather than setting on our laurels and saying this is where we are. So we're actively encouraging to move things forward. The accident stat for the slip, trips and falls within every local authority that I'm aware of, that is a continuing trend, and that is always the highest category of accidents. And it's what we need to concentrate on is the severity of those accidents. And you will see from this report in Section 9 that only two incidents were reported under RIDO, which is the Reports on Injuries, Dangerous Occurrences Regulations. So it's really reassuring that we're having a good reporting process with the least severity of accidents. That's important. And the other thing to note is that the authority is moving towards the OSAS 18001 standard within our processes and procedures, and that will absolutely embed health and safety within the culture, which is an important factor to take into consideration. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you very much. Well, Kayleigh, is there anything you wish to add, or will you come in on any questions that... Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions that anyone wants to ask? I saw you. We've got fingers going for buttons here. Councillor Harper-Davis was first with a hand, and then it'll be over. Councillor Smidovich next.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your report. Can I just ask, do we benchmark against any other councils? Because when I look through the document, I know we only had two serious accidents reported to Riddle, but one in nine seemed to be quite high to me, and I just wondered whether we benchmarked against any other councils similar in size and demographics and where we really sort of fall within that group. Thank you.
Yeah, we haven't taken any benchmarking from other groups. However, we do sit on other local authority groups, and I think for the future we can get back to you with some benchmarking results, and we will raise it at that meeting, so I'll take that forward from this meeting.
Thank you, appreciate that.
I have to say I'm delighted that it could be far worse than it isn't. You're pleased with what you've seen. But I really was quite disturbed by the fact that a large number of documents had not been reviewed for the past 3 years, because this isn't the first time that comment's been made in relation to various policies and things that we've had coming through to Cabinet. So I'm pleased now that they are being looked at. So that was the first thing. On a practical note, who actually does the training for the manual handling and so on and the work equipment? Does somebody come in here from Leicester, or do we do our own internal training? And I will have another question afterwards.
Fine, thank you. Yes, there are several options with the training. You have your learning and development team, which we can engage with to commission training. So there is also the option to purchase that as an additional resource from Leicestershire County Council. And we have currently put in a bid to do some of that training.
So I know you mentioned the learning and development team. Does that mean that they could possibly engage to get a certificate of competence in something, or a health and safety qualification, if it's coming through a learning development team?
It really depends on the level of training that's procured. We would normally do an attendance certificated level of competency rather than a qualification. So we pass on the learning, assess the competence of that person, and issue a certificate of compliance for that training course.
I think this might be the last one, depending on your answer. Loan working that you mentioned on page 8, I've now been out with quite a few officers to some interesting places, to say the least, and I've been quite concerned occasionally with the loan working and some of the volatile people that are out there that they visit, and their statistics there. What do we do, and who do we provide equipment to for the badge so that they're being monitored? Because we've also got people that go out at night to different places. And I'm also thinking here about protective garments, as in stab vests.
Thank you. Yeah, the loan working will be done on a risk assessment basis, and the managers would assess the risks of those members of staff. However, we've only been delivering this service since February, so I would beg some patience in how far we've got involved with that sort of thing. What I can reassure you is that we will look at that process to ensure that it's adequately covered, and if we need to have PPE, the risk assessment for that activity will identify that requirement. We can then implement that requirement.
Further question from Councillor Harper-Davis.
A comment and a question. I know the Landlord Services team have, I think they have pendants. They have some form of equipment on them when they do go out within, you know, sort of like within that particular service area. Because I know I've discussed that with our senior officer.
There are many long working devices available, and processes and procedures, and some are done through diary management and telephone conversations, people calling in after their visits, etc., etc. It depends on the level of risk, but we can look at expanding that service if it's required within those other areas.
Can I just make a comment? It has actually been agreed corporately that we are going to be introducing the ID device that Landlord Services have implemented, so that has been agreed, and we are going to do that this year. Okay.
That's a good question, thank you. Councillor Vardy.
Yes, thank you. Yes, sir, I think it's an excellent report. It's giving us some real good basis of, that's reassurance in a sense, that health and safety is taken seriously at Charnwood Borough Council, and it's good to see. I suppose my question is one where the answer is going to be yes, but one assumes that you have regular meetings to monitor trends, if you like, or issues that keep regularly occurring, and then come up with some, if you can, some mitigation to prevent the reoccurrence of some description.
Yeah, I think we have some quality control issues around how we actually look at accident investigations. What we will do, we will absolutely scrutinise every accident. Where it requires an investigation, we will undertake an investigation and make recommendations for further improvements. And I think health and safety is a continuing improvement environment, and we learn from errors or accidents that occur, but every accident is scrutinised in some detail.
Councillor Mercer.
Is there a danger that in making the reporting process relatively bureaucratic, you're deterring people, our employees, from reporting incidents? And I've certainly seen a case where one of our landlord services team was attacked by a tenant who thought he was a rival drug dealer. And I said, I was with another councillor, I said, are you going to report it? And he said, no, he said, it's too much hassle. Is there a danger that if, as you become more rigorous in implementing this new standard, that it may deter people reporting incidents?
I'm of the opinion that the standard will make it much easier, a much smoother process. We can make accidents readily available and reporting with a very, very simple process. It has to be that way, otherwise we won't get a true reflection on the true level of incidents. And the most important thing about accident recording is it's not the numbers that we achieve, it's how simple and how effective that reporting mechanism is. So the simpler it is, the more effective it is. And I wouldn't be hung up about numbers going up, it's the severity of those accidents I would be really concerned about.
The last point is actually a very good one, which is, I mean, you know, our culture should be that of reporting everything, regardless of the incident, because only then will we actually have a true picture of what's actually happening with an organisation, whether it's actually on this or any of the other sort of parts of our organisation where we have reporting systems and reporting processes. And as an organisation, I personally believe we are a transparent group, and that's to be welcomed. So. Anything that actually makes that easier, I think, is certainly something to be welcomed and beneficial for all of us. Any other further questions that anyone wishes to ask?
Yes, I'm sorry.
You're on a roll, Margaret. Yeah. Councillor.
Well, this is dear to my heart, so you've probably appreciated that. I get to hear from somebody I know an awful lot, not about this council, but another one, and what they're doing. So the other thing is, do we, or do you... coming from Leicester, work with our union or with heads of service? I mean, I know there is a union or unions. I'm not sure if it's one or two here in Charnwood.
Okay, so what we have within the management structure is we obviously have got a corporate health and safety statement, and I'm responsible for that as head of paid service. We have a health and safety committee, which meets every quarter, and that is comprised of senior management, but did also with trade union representation. And we will go through, in rather more detail than you're going through tonight, all of the statistics and figures and also the policy matters. So there are policy things that we need to address. We have a programme of work to do that. Within context, we've been working to develop our health and safety approach and culture and policy development for probably 2 or 3 years now. And so you will see that things will be coming through, but with the intention, I think, has been said several times already, of continuous improvement to make sure we are always looking to improve standards. So some of the things you've talked about on specifics like risk assessments, they've been done in more detail at service level. So StabVest, for example, was a specific piece of work done on that about November, I believe, where heads of service undertook a fresh risk assessment. So these are things that we take very, very seriously, and we have quite rigorous management processes to make sure that we are attending to all these matters. Lone working is something we've looked at probably for 3 years. We've always had lone working arrangements. Every local authority has them, but as technology develops, you get new opportunities to bring in better and more kind of reliable systems. That's something that we are doing. So I want to give you some assurance this is not a kind of one-off thing. This is a continuous process that we go through, and it does have full attention from myself and the rest of the senior management team.
Any further questions? In that case, I'm going to ask Councillor Poland to make a recommendation and seek a seconder.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to move recommendation, well, the recommendation on page one for the reason also on page one.
Councillor Taylor.
I'd like to second that, please, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can we see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Kayleigh, and thank you very much, Colin. So we're now on to the last item of the evening, which is item 10, which is the Memorandum of Understanding with Zhang Yang. Am I saying that correctly, Councillor Vardy?
Depends whether he's talking Cantonese or Mandarin,
Leader. Okay. So I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy to be the expert and lead on this one. And then our Chief Exec, Jeff Parker, will present the remainder of the report. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Leader. Interesting this. The purpose of this item is to seek Cabinet's approval to sign a memorandum of understanding between ourselves and the Jiangyang Municipal Government in China, setting out how we will work together to promote trade and cooperation between our localities. This Council's corporate plan includes a key theme of creating a strong and lasting economy. Within that theme, there are objectives to embrace innovation and technology so this borough can compete on a worldwide platform and to promote the borough to increase tourism and support initiatives to help our towns and villages to thrive. So I'll be quiet now and ask our Chief Executive to provide some background on how we got to be in this position. Thank you.
Happy position, Councillor Vardy. So there are already links between Charnwood and Jiangyang, and their educational links have been established by Loughborough College. And as a result of those links, the opportunities have arisen for us to look at other opportunities, other areas. And as Councillor Vardy outlined, they're primarily around economic development, prosperity, trade, investment, innovation, all of that. So it's all about the economy. There is a lot of information in the report. I hope you all found it helpful actually describing the area, what Jiangyang actually features, some of its key attributes. And we feel that because of that, there are opportunities, there are certain synergies, particularly with things like science and innovation, where we obviously have the Science Enterprise Park, but other things too that you will have seen in the detail. And so we now have the opportunity to establish that relationship through a memorandum of understanding, and it was hoped that we would be able to kind of take that forward through an initial delegation visit from some key people from Jiangyang. We've heard today that that visit will take place, but not, as it says in the report, at the end of July. I think it's going to be put back by possibly a few weeks, but I don't think that really impacts on the importance of trying to establish this relationship. So, as I say, it's really about economy, prosperity, and obviously with an economy that is prospering elsewhere in a key part of the world.
Thank you very much. In particular, I mean, I think the points you raised about where the links came from, I think are quite useful. It's also useful to actually understand that obviously it's geographically in the same area of China that already has established links with Leicestershire. And certainly I think the experience that the county has had of having specific links with certain areas in China has been quite beneficial to the local economy. So anything, I think, especially from sort of this time next year onwards, everything we can do locally to actually promote international trade, I think is going to obviously not only benefit our local community but also the country as well. So I think every initiative we can take is obviously beneficial to us and also to our country and our residents. So if I can open it up for questions or debate, if anyone has any particular questions they wish to ask. Councillor Mercer.
Do we envisage sending our own delegation back there And if we did, would it be of a comparable size to the delegation that comes over here? And is the delegation that's coming over to Charnwood, is it just to meet Charnwood, or do they are they presumably meeting a lot of other people as well?
So politically, the political connection is with us as Charnwood. So I've, on behalf of the borough, have invited them to visit the area. But obviously, we are also looking at trying to raise the attractiveness of the borough in relation to its geographical area. So, for instance, we're looking to arrange for a visit and a tour around East Midlands Airport on the basis that the airport is very keen. I've talked to Karen. I can't remember her surname now. The new chief exec for East Midlands Airport, apologies, who is very keen to actually establish further, obviously, trade links from East Midlands Airport to Chinese Airport. So, for instance, this particular city has a very well-established airport at the moment and is currently, I believe, in the process of building a second one. As far as any... So we are involving a slightly wider area than just purely the borough restrictions, or the borough boundaries, rather. But the benefit, I think, is hopefully to be focused on us as a borough on the basis of the university and the college and the educational links that they have already established over there. As far as the trips backwards and forwards, so the delegation that is coming over here is predominantly political, but it also has some of their friends, the head of tourism, and also the head of investment as well from the Chinese sort of municipal funds. I think, to be honest, any reciprocal trip that we actually make back there would actually be focused purely on the basis of business and would be focused primarily on actually any business links that have actually come out of the trip over here. I don't think at the moment that Charnwood Borough Council necessarily should be funding any trips over there, but any trips that do take place hopefully would be sponsored and be part of a business delegation. Also organised through, for instance, the Department of Trade as well, on the basis of trying to be coordinated with some of the activity that's taking place. This original connection was actually something that was actually arranged through a tour organised by Liam Fox's department of interested parties from the UK going out to China, and that's how the original links came about. So, you know, involving government does work. Being able to actually introduce people works. How we actually then develop those links for the benefit of our residents and also for greater trade, I think that's something that we need to develop here locally. But obviously we're trying to involve as many business groups and business organisations here in our area, but also geographically slightly wider, to make sure that it works. Any other questions, by the way? Right, can I ask Councillor Vardy in that case to make the recommendation and seek a seconder?
Just to say a few words, if I might, as well, Leader. I think, as I've said before in this meeting and in previous other meetings as well, that 2 or 3 years ago, you know, we hadn't got an awful lot to offer in the area of business engagement. We were running on a quite a dated database, and it wasn't very efficient. Due to some excellent work by our officers here, we now have a proper business engagement strategy, which I put before you 2 or 3 months ago, outline the sort of areas that we want to work and go into. I'm quite proud of that, and I'm quite proud of the fact that I overheard another councillor from another area a little while ago saying, Charnwood's got it taped on business engagement, and they're going to try to copy us. I'm quite pleased about that, hearing that kind of thing. And it's something that I feel that we're still working on now. We're not sitting still. And this is the very sort of same thing, the very sort of thing, sorry, that we have something to offer now. We have a package that can be tailored to whoever we're meeting to give to visitors and to delegations. And yes, we'll be looking to see if we can get it translated, if it's appropriate, etc. So I'm quite pleased with this. I think this is a step in the right direction, and it's a feather in the cap that we can do this to the officers and the quality of officers that we have here. and I will, and I've already said that to them. So the recommendation is that the Memorandum of Understanding with the Jiangyang Municipal Government appended to this report be approved and entered into, the reason being to support joint working with the Jiangyang Municipal Government to promote and encourage trade, investment, cultural links and tourism between the two localities.
And I'm happy to second that. Can I see all those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. So thank you very much for this evening's meeting. The meeting is now closed. I think any second now the recording is going to be turned off. So thank you very much. We can go and get some fresh air.